Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord, guys. How many of you are blessed right now, tuning in? You're there in your house. And what I want you to do right now, just before we pray, is because I know that you're in your house, I want you to turn around to one of the people that are there and just tell them, Jesus is Lord. Come on, say it out right now. Say, Jesus is Lord. Come on, declare it right now. Jesus is Lord. Now, come on, give him a big shout, a big praise, a big clap right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's great to see you and be with you right now. And I'm really actually excited about being able to bring this word to everyone that's tuning in right now. We're having church at home. And even in the midst of what is becoming the biggest crisis of a generation, we know that God is in control. We've got Jesus Christ and he's in control. I want you to turn in your Bibles right now to the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, chapter 13. I'm going to be reading just two verses, 11 and 12. And this is a portion of scripture that the Apostle Paul's been speaking to the church in Rome, the Christians, the believers in Rome. And he's been telling them about submitting to the government, about loving people, loving each other. And, you know, it's something that is very, very pertinent to today. You know, there's different stuff that we need to be doing. And the government is there trying to help out, lead us through these times. And we want to do our best to be part of the solution. And so he's speaking that. And then he comes up to verse 11. He says, do this understanding the present times. Understanding the present times. And this message today is got that title, Understanding the Times. Then he says this, he says, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Isn't that a powerful scripture for right now? That we need to wake up from our slumber, because there is something that God wants us to do at such a time as this. I keep hearing people say that we're in unprecedented times. And that word definitely sums up the days that we're living in right now. It means not known, not experienced, or not done before. And that pretty much is a description of the days that we're living in right now. It's almost like, I don't know if you felt this, but sometimes, you know, when you nip out, make a little ninja move to go out to the store and try and get some essential items, or you know, you go out to walk the dog, and you know, I hope some of your dogs don't get questioned for how many walks they've had in a day. But you go out, you know, you go out, and normally people would be buzzing around, but it's quiet, it's eerie, there's nothing around. It's almost like we're living in the plot of a Hollywood movie, just without makeup. So it's important that we try to get an understanding of the times that we're living in. Because if we don't get a grip of what is going on and what we need to do at this time, then we're going to miss a real opportunity to partner with God and see people make it through this time. Because how many of you know, we're going to get through this time. We're going to grow through this time, not just go through this time. This season will end. And if we don't understand these times that we're living in, we'll miss it. And we want people through this time and beyond to get a better connection with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world and the Creator of the universe. Man, listen, it's time to wake up and to really understand what is taking place. During this time, And when it is done, when it's over, when it's a memory, just a bad memory, people will remember those other people that helped them. People are going to remember the ones that encouraged them at this time. Not the ones that sowed fear, not the ones that sowed confusion or division, but the ones that sowed unity, sowed love, the ones that showed care, the ones that helped them out, and the ones that led them through. So what do we need to look at? I was praying about this. I'm saying, Lord, what do we need to look at in these times? And I believe that there are three key areas that we can look at. Three key areas that we can look at, these spheres or these areas that we need to get an understanding of the times that we're in. The first one is biblically. I believe that biblically we need to know what sort of times that we're in. And man, this could be a whole message on its own, so I'm only going to touch on a couple of little bits of it. But then the second thing is culturally. Culturally, what is our world going to look like? What is it looking like? What is it going to become like? Once again, that's a whole message on its own, but I want to start you thinking about this stuff. And then the last one is personally. What do we need to understand personally about this time? So if you're with me, let's go in. Biblically, when you study the Bible, I've been studying the Bible now for 25 years. And when you study the Bible, you can see that it's not just a book of myths. It's not just a collection of nice sayings. It is actually a living thing. It is a living thing. It contains the wisdom of God and the revealed nature of the creator of the universe. And you can see that even the things that were written about thousands of years ago, the characters that are there in the Bible, they have parallels with our lives today. In a list of names in the Bible, from 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, we find an interesting reference to a group of leaders called the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar. And the Bible says that these were men who understood the times and therefore knew what Israel should do. Basically, they understood what was going on and they understood what opportunities were in front of them. I don't know about you, but that's so powerful for us in our day. Back then in context, David had been anointed as king. He'd been anointed as king from a young boy. But he'd come up through the ranks and, you know, he'd been through his challenges and he'd got groups of people around him. But here we are right now and he's not king yet. He's not actually been enthroned yet. He hadn't taken the throne. Saul had still been taking on that role as king. But we get to a place where it seems as if there's a time in between times. Things stop. Normality stops. There's a time in between this time and the coming time, and it's a time where we have to make decisions. And you can't make a good decision without good information. You need to know what time it is. You need to know what's going on. There they were. And that's where we find ourselves in right now. I believe we're in the end of days. I believe that, you know, God's clock is ticking. And we need to wake up to that fact. And not think that we've got all the rest of eternity just to do our own thing. But that I don't want to cast any fear, but I want an urgency. I want there to be an urgency amongst us. That we need to start really doing what it is that we were created to do. And they were in that time. We're in that time. In between that which is and which is to come. But because the sons of Issachar understood the times, they were able to make a decision to follow David. He was God's choice. They made a decision to go God's way, to follow God's choice. Saul was man's choice. He'd been enthroned because people wanted him in that place. But the sons of Issachar understood that the time for decision was to follow God's will rather than their own will. Traditionally, these people, the sons of Issachar from the tribe of Issachar, came from one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The number 12 biblically is the number of governance. It's the number of governance. There were 12 tribes in the Old Testament. There were 12 apostles in the New Testament that were with Jesus. It speaks of governance. And they were one of the tribes. You know what that shows me? That shows me that even when governance happens, every single one of us still has a part to play in that. This tribe were the scholars. They were the students of the Torah, God's word. They were the ones that understood the Bible. They understood God's time. They understood his schedule. They understood his plan. And then in that, they were able to look at what was taking place around them and then make the crucial decision at the right time. But also, you have to understand, traditionally, they didn't work alone. This is something we have to understand also. It's okay making a decision about stuff, but we need to be working in God's order in this. In Numbers chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, in the time of Moses, we see that God chose the tribe of Issachar as one of three tribes out of the 12 that would always go out ahead of the nation of Israel whenever they were moving throughout the wilderness towards the promised land. Out of the 12 tribes, three of them would go first. And Issachar was right in the middle of those three. The three tribes were Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. These are so interesting because this is very important for us in the time that we're in. Straight away, we see that they're at the front of everything. And each of these shows us how God wants to work his plan out for our progress. Judah was the tribe of praise. We know that. They were the front runners. They were the royal tribe. And we always have to put praise first in everything that we do. We have to make sure that in every season, we praise God. Not for every season. Some seasons are hard. They're difficult. But we praise him in the season because he's good and his mercy endures forever. He is the king. He loves us and we praise him. And in that praise, we put him in his rightful place. So they were the front runners. And then after that, after the praise, would come Issachar. They were the wise ones. And they worked hard to learn and to find out all the information that they needed so that they could make the right decisions about what needed to be done. But then, watch this. They were followed by Zebulun. Zebulun was the finance tribe. Zebulun were the ones that traded. They were the ones that brought the resources in. And it's very, very important that, like them, we need to choose to embrace God's plan and get it in order. That once we put God in his place, he's going to give us the wisdom to understand what we need to do in this time. You might be thinking about what job you need to take, how you're going to pay your rent, your mortgage, what you're going to do with your bills, what's going to happen in your ministry, what's going to happen with your kids and schooling. And you need answers, but if you praise God first, then he'll give you the wisdom to be able to make the right decision, and then he's going to provide the resource. Because if it's God's will, then let me tell you right now, it's God's bill. He's going to bring the right people in place. We found out yesterday that my next door neighbor's a teacher. Hallelujah. Vicky's homeschooling our kids right now, Thomas and Lily, and doing an amazing job, and they're working hard. But how many of you know that we've got teachers in our congregation? We've got people to understand. We've got marriage counselors. We've got all of the things that we need in the house. And when you put God first, he's going to bring everything else that you need to you. There's also a parallel of this in the New Testament, where the followers of Jesus, it's like we're living in the now but not yet. That's what the theologians say. We're in the now but not yet. Just like David, Jesus has been crowned the Messiah. He's been anointed as the Messiah and the Savior and the King of the world. But we look around and we still see madness. We still see pandemics. We still see sickness. We still see corruption and greed and hatred. I mean, there's mad things taking place. People setting fires and spitting at people and coughing at people and making out that this thing is just a joke. It's all around us. And some people say, well, where's Jesus? I thought he was in charge. No, no, no. He's in charge, but he's in heaven. We're still on earth. There's still stuff that we need to do as humanity. There's still things that still need to be worked out. We're in the time of now, but not yet. But let me tell you, one day he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's not coming back as the meek lamb ready to be killed. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back to take over everything, change everything, judge everyone. But we're not quite there yet. But what choice are we going to make? Are we going to choose God's anointed, or are we going to choose our own anointed, our own decision, our own desire? See, you have to understand that you need to choose the side of Jesus. Because when you choose the side of Jesus, you're ultimately on the winning side. It don't matter what happens right now, because we know that good things are going to get worked out. Can someone help me say amen? Shout it out in your house right now. See, because of the decisions we're going to need to make, we need to understand the times like the sons of Issachar. And so we should ask God for the same type of understanding that they had. They knew and understand what moves they had to make as the season shifted. You know, we're constantly watching for updates. What can we do? What can we not do? Where can we go? What's happening here? What's happening there? What's coming next? And we need to understand that in time, it's very difficult to keep up with it. It can tire you out. But when you have a heavenly perspective and you start getting the wisdom of God, you start being able to, instead of being reactive, you can start to be proactive. I had toilet roll in my house before everyone started buying it. I'm not saying that I got a word from the Lord to go out and buy toilet roll, but you just get prepared, you know what I mean? We need to have the understanding of what moves to make, and we need to be flexible, because blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. That's right. And then also we need courage. We need courage to make the right moves. We need courage to say, you know what? I need to self-isolate, not because of me, but because of my sick relative, or because I don't want to get someone else infected. We need courage. We need wisdom at times like this. There's still so much madness taking place, but God's word tells us that when everything around us is falling to pieces, Jesus is still Lord, and one day he's going to come back and claim everything that's his. So be encouraged. Make sure your relationship with God is real right now. Make sure it's alive. Make sure you're awake. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, then today is the day of salvation for you. You can pray and you can ask him right now, today. Because the thing is this, when you surrender your wrongs to him, man, I did that 25 years ago as a drug addict. I surrendered my wrongs to him. And then he will give you his rights. You can be forgiven. You can have peace. You can have protection. You can have connection with people and also the creator of the universe. Beautiful stuff. But culturally then, we're living in this world. What's happening culturally? Well, our Western culture has been all about comfort. It's about selfish living. You know, the word is hedonism. It's all about what we can get, how we can live. But how many of you know, all of a sudden, flights have been shut down, hotels have been shut down, football's been shut down, rugby, baseball's been shut down. Come on now. All of the things that we used to, even restaurants have been shut down. Cinemas have been shut down. Shopping malls have been shut down. All of the things that people used to run after to lose themselves, to try and just get a little bit of comfort and a little bit of pleasure because of the humdrum, boring, empty lives that they live. All of a sudden, that's been shut down. Now what you got? Now you're sitting on the couch getting to know the person you married 20 years ago. Come on now. Now you're getting to know that your kids, in their reports, well, hello. Now you're getting to know what your dog feels like every time he has to go out for a walk. Come on now. All of these things are part of our culture, and now they're gone, at least for now. Many people, during this time, during all of this stuff that's taken place over the last decades, many people have turned away from the truth of God. They've turned away from the evidence about Jesus Christ, and they've come up with all these different theories and different stuff that they do. And culturally, we're now living in a consequence. People have tried to become their own gods. And look at where it's gone. This was spoken about 2,000 years ago. Paul, the apostle, wrote to his spiritual son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Watch this. He said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. That's what he said. Do those things ring true to you right now? We see it all around us. And many of us have lived that life. I know I did. I lived a selfish life for many years. I did bad things for many years. But thank God that Jesus found me and he showed me a different way of living. All of us have experienced that. And many of us have just turned a blind eye. We just try to blend in. Even in Christianity, we don't want to look too much like a Christian. We don't want to sound too much like a Christian in case people start to think that we're weird or we're wacky or we're crazy. We don't want to be like those preachers up there screaming, sweating and spitting. Listen to me. When I'm out in the streets, man, I'm just normal. I'm very quiet. But I still will not back down on my faith in Jesus. I still look for an opportunity to just share some love and share the truth that I have a conviction of. You can do the same. Don't blend in. Now's not the time to blend in. Now's the time to stand out. Now's the time to shine and to glow. Now's the time to speak the truth in love and let people make their own decisions. Culturally, things are shifting. We're looking at some things that are happening right now that we never ever thought were possible before this. And at super speeds. Ain't just 5G that's bringing super speeds. All because of a virus with crown-shaped spikes. Don't be surprised if things are never the same again after this. You know, we're going to get out of this season and we're going to be able to get out of our houses and get away from lockdown. But I want to let you know that some things are never going to be the same again. Be prepared for that. Technology is being fast-tracked into our lives at super speeds. 5G is going to change the game, man. And listen, I want to say this right now. There's lots of theories going about what this is all about. I've heard that it's all about a secret 5G conspiracy. I've heard other conspiracies that it was China that started it as part of the trade war. I've heard other conspiracies that it's all about the 13 royal antichrist bloodlines, that it's deep state stuff, that it's the Illuminati or the Bilderberg group or whatever. There's theories all around there. And the thing is this, some of them are plausible. Some of them possibly have elements of truth. But I want to let you know something. Don't get twisted with this stuff. The Bible's clear, man. Paul said in Ephesians to the church in Ephesus, he said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of the spiritual realms." Listen, this is a spiritual battle. And the thing is this, we have to concern ourselves with the spiritual work. What is it that God wants us to do right now? Because I tell you this, if you follow all those trails, even Sherlock Holmes would have a hard time being able to work out what's really going on. But Jesus has made it very simple. He's made it very clear. He said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey everything he's done, baptizing them, immersing them in his life, teaching them to obey what he said." And then he said, he's going to be with us. That's what we want to do. Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly or fleshly, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We need to concern ourselves right now about helping people that abound in fear, helping people that don't know where they're going to get their next meal, helping people that are sick and don't know what's going to take place. We need to be concerning ourselves with people that don't know Jesus, that are lost in sin. We need to concern ourselves about taking care of what we can take care of. The other stuff is going to come about. It's going to come to pass. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. God has a plan, no? And we need to concern ourselves with that. Artificial intelligence is coming. I'm not going to say anything about intelligence. You're all intelligent people. You can make your own minds up. But it's coming. Who knows if Terminator is going to be back? But it's going to be embedded in our lives, let me tell you. The whole environment of Earth is changing before our eyes. Expect shifts on how you use money. Some people are already saying that they're going to do away with cash money. So, you know, we're going to start up a little cash retrieval business. Hallelujah. And if money is really dirty and you don't want to use it again, just put it in a sack, leave it outside your house. We'll come and take it away for you. We're born again, but we weren't born again yesterday. Amen. But that's going to change. At some stage, the Bible says that there will be a mark upon the people's hands and a mark on their forehead that they're going to need to have. Otherwise, they can't buy or sell or do any type of stuff like that. The mark of the beast, they call it 666. The mark of the beast and the number of his name is 666. You know, I don't think that that's necessarily going to happen next week. But the Bible's clear that it's going to happen sometime in the future. Where that comes from, what's going to lead to that, we don't know. But beware, be wary, and be doing what God wants you to do. Expect shifts in how we are expected to interact. Social distancing, how long is that going to last? You know, what's going to take place? Working from home, having offices, going to different places. We don't know what effect that's going to have on people. And we don't know who is going to be considered to be good or bad for society. Are they going to work it out? Those that have had the coronavirus and those that haven't? We don't know, man. But the fact is this. We need to know the signs of the times, and we need to know what God wants us to do in the midst of these times. But culturally, things are shifting. Many are taking responsibility to follow health guidelines. So are we. You know, wash your hands, be conscious of others. But we don't use the term social distancing. We use the term physical distancing because we don't want people to be distanced socially. We want them to interact socially. We don't want people to be more isolated. We want people to be more insulated. And you can do that healthily. You can do that well. You can do that responsibly. But let's not forget that there are those people out there that are alone at a time like this. And we need to, as Christians, as churches, we need to be taking care of them. In whatever way that we can. We need social solidarity. But how many of you know there's good stuff that takes place as well in our culture? There's been between half a million and a million people that have signed up as volunteers for the National Health Service. And right now, I just want to give a big up to the National Health Service, to all of our frontline National Health Service warriors, nurses, doctors, those in the care professions, porters, you know, admin, whoever's doing it, canteen staff, praise God for you, man. You're doing great. You're doing amazing right now. Many more people are asking God questions about faith. You know, it's really important that we understand that culture's shifting. And we need to know where it is that we need to fit at a time like this. What is up ahead for us? So that we can be ahead of the curve, that we can be at the forefront of the game, that we know that we're going to be proactive right now. That's why it's so important that you sow right now. Because whatever you sow in this season, you're going to reap in the season to come. So sow love, not fear. Sow your finance, because you're going to reap it. You're going to need it later. Sow love, because you're going to reap that later. Sow peace, sow joy, sow truth, sow spirituality. But then personally, people are asking personal questions about God. Personally, my advice to you is don't be afraid. Don't fear the arrow that flies. Don't fear the pestilence. Don't fear that stuff. Be wise. Don't be stupid. Don't go out there and call it on like you're some sort of super healer. Be wise, but don't fear. King Solomon, who lived centuries before Christ, made this comment in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, something very, very powerful that I want us to understand. He said, history merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. You've got to understand, even though the details might be different, the circumstances throughout history have seen similar things happen time after time after time. There's always been rulers with an anti-God agenda. There have always been people who try and take over and control society. Plagues and sicknesses have come and they have gone. But throughout it all, God always comes out on top. God always comes out on top. And this time is no different. Come on, praise God right now where you're at. Say thank you. So put your trust in Jesus. Understand this, man. All this stuff happens, right? It comes, it goes. It comes and it goes. There have been plagues and all that, as we've said. But throughout it all, look at the plan of God. Trust in Him. Because we've got the ability to look back at His plan, working its way out up until now. He's fulfilled every single mark of His schedule up to this point. And He will continue to do so. So put your trust in Him now. And you know then that you can trust Him, that He's got your future under control. But also understand this. I want you to understand this. In this season, understand your personal value. Understand your personal value. You know what's interesting to me? It's interesting that in this crisis, the UK government actually outlined who are considered to be key workers. Key workers, people that the nation cannot do without. All the NHS staff, including the administrators, including the cleaners. Sometimes we miss out the cleaners in this. They're the ones that have to go into those contaminated places and actually clean it. I think we need to clap for the cleaners in the name of Jesus. Know your value. You got the frontline staff, doctors and nurses and midwives, they're still going about their business. But remember the porters that take the beds from wall to wall. Remember all of the people that keep everything running, the canteen staff. You got paramedics going out there, going into who knows what. You've got support staff, health and social care staff, care home staff. We've got all of these people that sometimes are not considered as glamorous as some other things. Then there's teachers, teaching assistants. You know, there's still teachers teaching kids in schools. There's social workers, food chain workers and delivery workers. You know, look at the people in all of the supermarkets that are taking the deliveries and stacking the shelves, and the ones that are taking your money. Or your cards, or putting everything through the till. Praise God for them. They're valuable staff right now. What about government officials? We've already seen that our Prime Minister Boris Johnson and all the people that he was with at top government have all been tested positive for coronavirus. They're right there. They're having meetings all the time. They're going into different areas. We need to continue to pray for them. Whatever it is that you think, whatever side you've been on the political spectrum, stop it right now. Just wipe your mouth, wind your neck in, stop it right now. This is not a time to score points. This is a time to pray for our leaders. This is a time to unite. This is a time that whatever you think of the people in person, they're carrying the weight of all of us, and they need to be making the right decisions. So pray for them. Pray for them that they get God's wisdom. But we need them as well. Police, armed forces. You've got the soldiers out there. You know, they're used to fighting wars, but here they are fighting another type of war, helping out, building new hospitals. Police that are out there still taking care of us. And then there's the transport workers, the postal workers, the utility workers. There's the religious staff who are even considered to be key workers. Hallelujah. For once, amen. People consider us to be important in this society. Because how many of you know this society lost its respect for pastors and ministers many, many years ago. But now we're considered to be key workers. so many different other people. These are some of the people that have been identified as being essential to keep the nation going. But you know what's interesting to me? There was no mention of celebrities. There was no mention of celebrities. There was no mention of pop stars or film stars, movie stars, TV stars, even sports stars were not considered to be essential. All of the icons, all of the idols are now being brought down. Oh, they'll come back because people want them. They'll worship them, but you have to understand your value right now. Don't forget, you're valuable. You're valuable. And even if you weren't mentioned in that, and even if you are one of those pop star celebrities, you're valuable to God, but in a different way. He values your soul. He wants your relationship. He wants you to be with him for eternity. But you're valuable. And then as Christians, you're valuable because you carry the presence of God with you. Wherever you go, you've got to make sure that you change the frequency. You change the atmosphere. If people are afraid around you, then the peace of God and the love of God should affect them in a way that they're looking around saying, what's taking place? Something different is here, and it's you. You are the one. You are the one. Where you pray, where you worship, when you praise God, you literally change frequencies. You change atmospheres. When you live as a representative of Jesus the Messiah, you release a taste of heaven to people who are thirsty right now for hope. Look for opportunities to pray. Volunteer your services. Get around your neighborhood. Phone someone, call someone, FaceTime someone. Spend time with someone. Share these messages with people that they would find out that there's a little bit of hope. So wake up to what's going on. Get understanding of the times we're living in. Draw close to the Savior at a time like this. There's so many things that are happening. You want to go on our website, vomanchester.org. There's all sorts of stuff that we're putting into place. If you're social isolating, if you have a need, if you have a prayer request, we're seeing so many answers to prayer right now. We're hearing of people getting healed from the virus, coming back into their place of work. We're hearing people getting provided for. We're hearing all sorts of stuff. It's not all bad news out there. There's good news. Hundreds of thousands of people around the world have recovered from the coronavirus. There's good news out there. And we are putting things in place for people to get connected and stay connected. Even the kids, after this service is over, the kids gang of VO Manchester have got their own Zoom meeting where they're going to meet up together as kids, because even the kids are valuable. Even the kids are valuable because you're the future. Our kids are the future. So wake up. Understand the times we're living in. Know that the night is coming to an end. Know that there's going to be joy that comes in the morning. The world we knew it is changed now. It's changed. Don't think that it's just going to go back to how it was. It's actually going forward to where it was always going to get to. And unless you know Jesus Christ the Savior, unless your eternity is assured, unless He is living in your heart, unless you're forgiven, unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then the future is going to be uncertain. But when you know God, you know that your times are safe in His hands. Pray like never before. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone who's going to listen. Be sensitive. Don't just jump into someone. But always be ready with an answer. Always be ready with a word of wisdom or encouragement or truth. Always be ready with love. It might seem dark right now, but the morning's coming. When you pray right now, right where you're at, in your house, your home, I want you to pray. I want you to take a moment right now. We're all going to pray. And I'm going to pray right now because I really feel the anointing of God. I pray right now that the anointing of God is going to flow into your life, into your house. The anointing of God is going to flow right now, right where you're at. In fact, first of all, what I want to do is, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally as Savior and Lord, and what that means is that He's your Savior in that He's forgiven you and you've entered in to the presence of God. You've been reconnected to the Creator because of the work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross. He paid the price for your debt. He was a substitute for you and me. Right now, I just want you to pray. I want you to give yourself wholeheartedly, completely to Jesus. This is a strange time. God's trying to get your attention. Pray like this. Say, God, come on, speak it out right now where you're at. You're in your own home. Speak it out. Be bold. Say, God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. I've heard that He died as a sacrifice for me. That He paid the debt that I could not pay. He paid for my selfishness and my bad decisions. But He didn't stay dead. And I've been told, and I believe it, that He rose again from the dead, never to die again, and He lives right now. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. So Lord, would You forgive me? Would You forgive me? Would You love me? Holy Spirit, would You fill me? Would You give me the opportunity, God, to live my life in a way that gives You a reward for Your sacrifice? I want to be Your friend. I want You to be my Lord. Take control of my life. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, just thank Him. Thank Him while you're watching in your homes right now. Thank Him. Begin to thank Him. Lift up your voice and just thank Him. Say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for loving me, for saving me. Thank You for holding me. Thank You for protecting me. Thank You for providing for me. And I just want to pray one more thing. Father, I pray in every household right now, Your anointing would fall like rain. That Your breath would breathe into every house. People that have never known You before, people that have been away from You for a while, let them sense and know that the Holy Spirit of God is in their home. Holy Ghost, reach out and touch. Reach out and hug. Reach out and hold. Reach out and feel every single one of us right now. Those that are sick, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed. Those that are afraid, in Jesus' name, know that You're loved. Those that are worried, in Christ's name, receive the peace of God from heaven right now to fill your house. Lord, we love You today. We thank You. Bless You. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.